Father, we just thank you so much today for the precious word of God. We thank you that we're not going into this new year with the same old mindset, with the same old bondage, and the same old habits. Father, we're going into this new year with the power of the grace of God to launch us into what you have for us. And we release that grace. We release that anointing today in this place, Father, for all that are here, in Jesus' name. And all that agreed said,
amen.
One of the things that struck my heart when I began to prepare for this and pray about this is the Lord just reminded me of something that he showed me years ago through the Word of God and also by his Spirit, that God's desire is that you be a total success in every single area of your life. Does anybody here want to fail? Okay. How many would want to be a success in every area of your life? Okay. Now, this is not relative to, you don't have to be between like 30 and 50 years old for this to happen. You can succeed as a youngster. You can succeed as a teenager. You can succeed as a 20-something. You can succeed in your 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s. Amen? And God is destined and God has designed that you be a success in every area of your life. And so we're talking about these four different pillars that we started into last week. Now, I looked up the word success in Webster's, and I'll just mention this here if you're taking notes here. And it means a favorable or desired outcome. How do you like that? A favorable or desired outcome. The attainment of wealth, favor, eminence, achievement, acquirement, attainment. And I like this, triumph. Amen? Say triumph. That means that you win. You know, Corinthians says this, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Amen? It was said of David that his triumph was heard throughout the whole land. That must have been a big motorcycle. It says his triumph was heard throughout the whole land. And when you get a victory like that, everybody will know about it. Amen? Praise God. Now, the four pillars that we're talking about, first of all, is the Word of God. And I want to talk a little bit more about that today. If you will go over to Psalm chapter 11, it's Psalms chapter 11. Have you enjoyed that video this morning? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You know, some people think it's sacrilegious if you laugh in church. I think it is. I think it's sacrilegious if you don't. How many of you know there's joy and there's laughter in heaven?
Yes.
There's not a bunch of stick in the muds. God's not a stick in the mud. Amen? And you can enjoy more sometimes while you're laughing. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a what? Like a medicine. Praise God. So do me a favor this morning. Don't take yourself so seriously. Because you're looking at someone that used to take myself so seriously. Okay? I tease about this sometimes when we were first engaged, you know, and dating Lynn and I, she didn't think I had any teeth. Because I took things so serious. I was so serious about my walk with God. And I was. I mean, my heart was towards God. I was so serious about God, but I was leaving out one of the most important aspects about the Christian walk, and that is joy. And I was serious about serving the Lord. I was dedicated, you know what I mean? But I was leaving out one of the most important things, and that was joy. So once I realized that, and I was embarrassed by that, and I began to realize, wait a minute, there's a whole other realm here. The Bible says Jesus was full of joy. It said he endured the cross with joy that was set before him. So he even endured the cross with joy. Now, in Psalm chapter 11 and verse 3, it says this, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Notice that. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, we have to understand that in our Christian life, that there are these, we're talking about these pillars. These are foundational truths in our lives. And we have to realize that the foundation is so important. Now, you're sitting in a building right now. I'm not sure when it was in. You know, it was constructed many years ago, and they just remodeled it, of course, but it's a pretty large hotel. And the first thing that they did with this particular building is they laid the foundation. And then they built upon the foundation of which we're in today. And of course, the foundation now cannot be seen. Okay? With buildings that are out here everywhere you look, the foundation is the larger the building and the houses that you live in. There's a foundation that's there. But no one gets excited about the foundation. You don't take someone into your house and say, "Hey, check out my foundation." Now you'll say, "Well, look at my family room or look at this." But listen, without the foundation, there would be no family room. There would be no master bedroom. There would be no big kitchen with an island in it. Because the foundation is what holds it up. And so it is with this particular building right here, is that the foundation, although it cannot be seen after things are built, it's still the most important part of a particular building. And so it is with the Christian life. Amen? So we're talking about this first foundation, this first pillar here is the Word of God. Say the Word of God. Now, how do we talked a little bit about this last week. I don't want to get more into this today, but how do we build this first pillar? How do we build our lives on this first pillar? On the Word of God. Say the Word.
The Word.
Okay. So what we need to do is we need to ask ourselves this question. If you're taking notes, and I encourage you to do that on the back of your bulletins, then ask yourself this question. In any area of life, no matter what you face in life, no matter what challenge or circumstance that you face in your life, ask yourself this question. What does the Word of God say about this situation? Amen? I think I quoted this last week. Joyce Meyer is famous for saying, you know, when you get in trouble, do you run for the phone or the throne? Okay? So we have to understand that we have Lord is our present help. He's our very present help in the time of need. There's probably, this is not a word at all, it's just human nature, but some of you have some challenges that are in this room right now. How many of you have got some challenges in your life? Okay? You got some things that you're dealing with, you know, and some of it might be financial, some of it might be relational, some of it might be a job situation. I mean, the list goes on. A physical problem, something like that. And there's a tendency that in our psyche, our human psyche, to look in the natural for the help that we need when God's Word already has the solution to the problems that we face. See, God's Word has the solution for everything that we face. You know, Psalm chapter 1 talks about blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the law of the Lord, the Word of God, and in his word does he meditate day and night. So he talks about the counsel of the ungodly and so forth, you know. Now, listen, the world can help you to a certain point. There are certain things they can say, but I found this to be true, that if they're using if they're helping people, it's probably a biblical principle anyway. We have some CDs at home on success and things like that. You know, they're coming from a worldly standpoint. But I found this to be true when I was listening to my son and I were listening to some of these tapes. And there's some good things in there. But I told my son, I said, these are all biblical principles. I can take you to a verse that'll back that up. Amen? Because real, true success is biblical. It comes from God. And if we understand this first thing here, ask yourself, How do we build our foundation in any area of life? What does God's Word say about this? When your body's under attack, what do you do? When pain comes or sickness comes or flu comes or something like this, symptoms come knocking on your door, you know, what do you do? Do you say within yourself, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh," huh? Or do you say, "Oh, wait just a minute here. There's something in the Bible about this." Amen? See, I could save you a whole lot of time and a whole lot of energy if you just run to what the Bible says and say, "Okay, there's a word in here for this situation. I may not know it right now, but there's a word for the situation." Say you're having marital problems, okay? There's a whole lot in the Word of God that has to say about that. Okay? Now, that's one of the reasons for the local church, not the only reason, but for the local church, is to give you information and inspiration that will help you in these particular areas right here. So you ask yourself, what does God's Word say about this situation? Say you're being oppressed in your mind. The devil's just messing with your head. making you feel like a worm in the dust, lower than a snake's belly. That's pretty low. And you just feel like, I don't know if anything good's ever going to happen to me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Are you with me now? Well, you got to locate that. Where's that coming from? That's not coming from Aunt Martha or Uncle Bill. That's coming from Diablo. That's Spanish for devil. Amen? See, even Jenny's impressed because I just spoke Spanish. Amen. She'll send me sometimes emails and it's in Spanish. I'm like, I might as well be speaking in tongues, you know? I'm still learning English. Amen. Hallelujah. But you have to ask yourself the question, where is this thought coming from? This oppressive thought that's coming against me. Okay? There's people all over this region, all over the United States that are being attacked in their mind and they don't know what to do with it. Okay? Amen? Spiritually, the lights are coming on too. Amen? And there's people that are attacked and they don't know what to do with it. But I want to show you from the Word of God today, there's an answer for you. See, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that surely oppression will make a wise man mad. Or you'll get ticked off. In other words, the devil starts messing with you. You're not going to sit back and say, all right, just bring it on. Just play a martyr. When the enemy starts attacking you, you say, whoa, 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 wait a second here. Jesus, redeem me from this. I'm not going to put up with this. Praise God. You know, it'd be no different if, you wives that are here and mothers and grandmothers that are here, that you take pride in your house in a good sense, that you clean your house, take care of it. You know, what would you do if a snake got into your house? Would you just accommodate it and say, well, he's a pretty little thing. I like his collars on his back. I just don't like that forked tongue thing, you know. And man, you would get brooms, shovels, hammers, whatever, you know, anything. And get that thing out of there. You would kill that thing and get it out of your house. Are you with me now? Praise God. Did I make my point this morning? You need to get that thing out of the house. Now, the enemy sometimes can come in. You know, he's like a snake and he slithers in. But he slithers into your thought life. Is it okay if we take a little side journey here this morning? And thoughts of destruction, thoughts of sometimes anything that's destructive to your well-being and who you are. You're never going to be healed. You're a loser going somewhere to happen. This situation will never change. And so what happens is all these thoughts are coming at your mind, okay? And that's the enemy. He's behind that. Now, what you do, first of all, you have to recognize where that's coming from. That's not just your thought. See, thoughts are spiritual. And the devil, the primary way that the enemy attacks Christians and people on this earth is in the thought realm. Praise God. And that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says that, you know, that we are to cast down imaginations. We're to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. The thoughts, you know, things that do not line up with the Word of God. Anybody here ever have a bad thought before? After you've been saved, bad thought comes about you. Bad thought comes about somebody else, you know. And, you know, just because you have a bad thought doesn't mean that that's your thought. You've heard me say hundreds of times, and I've borrowed this from somebody else, that, you know, you can't keep bad thoughts from coming any more than you can keep, you know, birds from flying over your head. But listen, you do have control whether they build a nest in your hair. See, thoughts will come and go, and bad thoughts, you know, that's not your thought. You just let it pass by. I said, nope, that's not my thought. The devil puts a thought in your mind, you're going to fail this year miserably. This year is going to be worse than last year. You watch. What do you do with that thought? You take captive that thought. Say, no, no, no. I am going to be blessed this year.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? Amen. I'm going to rise up from this muck and this mire. I'm going to march on. I'm going to receive what God has for me because I'm redeemed. So if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So the Word of God is the number one pillar that we build our lives upon, the Word of God. If you would go over to Psalm 127. Psalms 127, and we'll look at verses 1 and 2. Thank you, Lord. And it says this, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Notice the house was built. But if the Lord didn't build the house, it's in vain. It said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. He said basically this. He said, if you're in the habit of staying up so late and try to get up early, you're going to eat the bread of sorrows. Amen. Someone says, man, I just have such a hard time waking up for church on Sunday mornings. I asked someone this one time. I said, well, how late did you stay up? Well, 2 or 3 in the morning. I said, well, that's not a devil. That's just common. That's just wisdom. Go to bed early. You'll get up early. And you won't have a problem staying awake. Amen. Won't have to, you know, won't have to need that fifth cup of coffee, in other words. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And so, but notice this scripture right here. It says that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, our house that we're building is on the Word of God. And so we're in church. You know, we can talk about the Word of God, building our foundation on the Word of God in our lives. And I learned this as a young teenager. You know, I got a hold of the Word of God when I was 16 years old, and it changed my life, radically changed my life. When I turned 19, that's when things really, really changed around, because that's when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues, and got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it set me on a course that I've never been the same since. And thank God for that. But Jesus said something here in Matthew chapter 4. If you go over there to Matthew chapter 4. About the Word of God. We're just kind of laying the foundation here right now. The first pillar of success in your life, if you want this year, 2013, I know that you do, that you want this year to be a success in your life, in your business, in your job, in your careers, in your family, in your physical body, is build your foundation on the Word of God. See, this is why the enemy tries everything he can to keep you distracted from the Word of God, keep you out of church, keep you out of the Word of God. You're too busy for the Word of God. Amen. See, if we're too busy for the Word of God, we need to cut something out. We need to alter. We need to change something. Amen? See, it's so important that we realize that we, when it really comes down to it, we as human beings, that we always make room for the things that are most important to us. I always make time for the things that are most important. Okay? In other words, what is important to you? What is important to you, you will invest time into that. Now, if the Word of God, if we're not investing time into the Word of God in our lives, then really the Word of God is not that important. But I know that you feel the opposite. Amen? The Word of God is important to you. But Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was speaking here, and of course he was speaking this scripture to the devil when he attacked him. And he said, you know, the devil had said, you know, if you're really the Son of God, he was challenging his identity. He said, if you're really the Son of God, then command these stones to be made bread, after he had fasted 40 days. Jesus responded by quoting Deuteronomy 8:3, and he said in Matthew 4:4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Notice it says that we will live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, if you take the other side of the coin to this, you know that man shall die by the words of the devil. If we live by every word that proceeds out of God's word in his mouth, then it means reason to say that man will die by the words of the devil.
Yeah.
See, that's why we have the ability to choose life. God said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then God says, choose.
Yeah.
Make a choice.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just like on voting day, you made a choice who you're going to vote for. Hopefully it was the right person. Amen? Well, you vote every day. What kind of thoughts am I going to think on? You go into that booth and you close the curtain. And you press the button. I will think about this today.
Yeah, that's good.
and all people see is your legs. But when that curtain closes up and you walk out, they know, we know what you've been thinking about, because it'll show up on your face. Amen? See, if you're hearing from the devil, you're going to be sad and depressed. If you're listening to him, you will be sad, dejected, and oppressed. You'll be like, oh. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying this is the way we all are. I'm the same way. Okay? Hopefully I'm getting less and less of those days. Amen? Praise God. But we make a choice. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but he'll live by every word. See, we can live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. See, when I'm attacked in my finances, anybody here ever been attacked in your finances? Amen. You know, refrigerator breaks, car breaks, muffler falls off the car. You left it on Highway 79 or somewhere, you know what I mean? And all these different things come at you. You have to ask yourself, wait a minute, what does God say about this thing here? When symptoms come to your body, you know, I have never seen in the last, I don't know how many years now, but, you know, they're always, the newscasters, and so they're always talking, particularly this year. Maybe they ran out of things to talk about. They're talking about how bad the flu is. And they're showing the entire United States, and it's like a plague hitting the United States. Well, when I see that, I looked at that and I said, I feel fear when I see that. So you know what? I shut that off.
Amen?
Amen? I'll just look at the weather.
Amen.
But see, those are avenues whereby we can let fear in. Now, when we ask ourselves the question, no, wait a minute. All right, they're saying the flu is coming to every house that's out there, you know. And now let's just talk about from here onward, okay? All right, forget about what's happened. If it happened to you, we'll get over it. Amen. We're moving forward. You're alive. You're here. Amen.
Amen.
But ask yourself the question, wait a minute here. If they're announcing that, if you're meditating on the things of this world, saying that flu season, it's wicked, it's bad, so-and-so died from this thing, and they show these cases like this, what happens is, as you build a case in your mind, a stronghold in your mind, that maybe, just maybe, that'll happen to you. I saw a guy the other day that had one of these masks. He was walking around with a mask on his face. Like he was in surgery. You know what I'm saying? He's walking around with a mask on his face. He's probably trying to keep himself from getting the flu. Amen? But listen, in situations like that, wait, what does God's word say about this? Well, he redeemed me from the curse of the law in Galatians 3:13. Jesus Christ redeemed me from sickness, from disease, so that what he bore, I don't have to bear. See, that's good news. Jesus spent 3/4. Now think about this. This will be a plug for healing school. Jesus spent 3/4 of his earthly ministry healing the sick. So if it's not that important, then why was there so much emphasis on that in the New Testament? Well, Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means past, present, and future. So if Jesus healed back then, he's healing today. If Jesus healed 2,000 years ago, he's healing today. Well, my preacher, well, that's the problem right now. My old whatever taught me that, you know, that we'd learn from these things. Kind of got that twang in their voice, you know what I mean? That's part of the sufferings. Well, listen, there are certain sufferings that Jesus went through you don't have to go through. Now, the Bible does say that all that will live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In other words, there's going to be some people that won't like you. That's okay. Because you're a Christian. They'll talk about you, lie about you sometimes, you know. Anybody ever had that happen to you before? It doesn't feel good, but that goes with the territory. But that's the part of suffering that we have to deal with at times. But the other part of the suffering that we don't have to put up with is sickness and disease. Okay? Because Jesus bore that for you, and he bore that for me. Amen? We got a testimony this week. We had communion last. There was somebody here that's not here today, but they had problems. There was a word of knowledge after we took communion. but someone had problems moving. Well, I got a testimony back, and they said, man, I have full mobility. I went home in the afternoon. I could move my shoulder around and move, and praise God. There's full mobility right there, you know. Why? Because there's fruit. When we hear God's word, it'll produce faith and produce fruit inside of our lives and thereby bring results. See, faith begins where the will of God is known. If people were not taught about divine healing, and that's why I encourage you to come out in February, that if we're not taught about divine healing, if we don't know it's God's will to heal us and how to administer healing to ourselves and help other people, then we really can't walk in it. This hotel here, there's obviously two rooms here. Through the years, they still do. They have seminars in here, continuing education seminars for businesses that are in this area. It's a big business area. It's huge. And people will come in here for their particular company that they work for, whatever they're involved with. And they'll sit here for 2 or 3 days. They'll get a room in the hotel. And they'll come in here and they've got the slides up here and they're learning. I see it all the time. And they're educating themselves. They're learning about new ways and new products, for example, how to implement different things. And so they're tweaking what they know. Well, if that's done in the natural, how much more do we need to do that in the spiritual?
Amen.
Praise God. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by, say every word.
Every word.
Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means you can live by God's word. Now go to Luke chapter 6, if you would. And we're going to see this in the New Living Translation. In Luke chapter 6, and matter of fact, this is the same scripture that they used at the end of that video that we saw here about the foundation. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 6 and verse 47 through 49. Jesus said this, I'll show you what it is like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. You see that? He said, it's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Do you see that? So here you got two people here. And both of them heard the word. Okay? But here's the difference. The same storm came against these two guys. Same storm. Not a different storm. Same storm. The difference was this. One heard but didn't do, and there was collapse. And he likened that as building on a weak foundation on sand. But the person that heard and did, the same storm came, but when the storm left, they were left standing. Praise God. They were left standing. And he said, this is an allegory. This is an illustration of what it's like that when the storms of life come against us in any way, shape, or form, as we had to ask ourselves, all right, here's what God's word says. I'm going to act like that's true. You know, I'll be honest with you. I think where the problem with this lies with all of us is this, is that we're waiting for some special goosebump or some special feeling to act, to feel like maybe this is true. But let me tell you something. You can have some of the greatest miracles happen in your life when you're not going by your physical feelings, your five senses. There are times many times in my life, I've taken a stand upon the Word of God, and of most of which I had no physical feeling attached to that. No goosebumps, no special like, whoa, did you feel that? Now, sometimes you'll have a physical, you'll say, man, you just feel it in your spirit, you know what I mean? But be honest with you, it's no different than saying your name. There's no special feeling attached to that. But you're speaking truth. And when you stand upon the word of God and say, you know, Lord, I believe your word in this situation right now. I believe that your word says in Philippians 4, verse 19, you know, that my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I settle that right now in Jesus' name. And you close your Bible and you walk away. Now, you may not have any feeling attached to that whatsoever. And a thought will come to your mind and say, well, you really didn't receive it. Look around. It's still the same. Look in your wallet. Look in your checkbook. It still looks the same. Amen? And I'll tell you a story that happened to me years ago. Okay? And it's a little radical story, but, you know, sometimes you got to do radical things to get radical results. Praise God. How many want results? I heard a story one time, and I'll say what this other was in a minute, but Jerry Seville one time, he was ministering a number of years ago, and the word of the Lord came into him saying that people that had back problems to come forward, and as they came forward, the Spirit of God told him to lay face down on the ground across the front of the auditorium. And I think there was one of the dignitaries for the county was there in that meeting, and he came forward. And here's what the Lord said. He says, I want you to take your shoes off and I want you to run across their backs. Hello. Here you got men and women laying on the ground, face down across. You know, can you imagine the newspapers coming in there and say, oh, look at this, you know. They'd have a big story, wouldn't they? And so he wrestled with that because one time Jesus spat on the ground and rubbed clay, made clay of the spittle and rubbed it in a fellow's eyes. Someone says, yuck. You know, Jesus, on the ground, made. But hey, I'm not going to argue with results. Amen. See, there's different administrations, different operations of the Spirit. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it depends on how the Spirit it will move. But the Lord told him, now he wrestled with it. He's thinking, oh, God, that better be you. But, you know, the Spirit of God said, I want you to run across their backs right now. So he took his shoes off, ran across their backs. Man, people were jumping up and they got healed.
Amen.
Amen. But see, that's, you know, and a lot of people would start a church, the first running across people's backs church down on the corner. You know what I'm saying? But see, there's different administrations, different operations. And there are times that the Lord will have you do something one way, but that may be the only time He'll tell you to do it that way. But I remember on one occasion, getting back to that story, you might have thought I forgot about that. But when we were living in Texas, we were assistant pastors in a church and living on barely get along street. You know, and but we're in the ministry, hallelujah. And we had a financial need come up, man, that looked like Mount Everest to me. I mean, it was just like, you know, and I didn't know where this thing was going to come from, you know. And this is before we had kids, and we're in our little, tiny little apartment that we had, you know. And I remember exactly where we were, right in our part of our living room and dining room where they're attached. And the Lord instructed me to lay my wallet and my check. Book on the ground, and he goes, I want you to run around it and like an Indian dance type thing, you know, and shout and praise God. Now, that didn't look real pretty, but let me tell you something. If you're trying to look pretty, it ain't going to work, amen? Now, it's just my wife and I, okay? There's nobody there except me and her and God. And God says, all right, you have a need. I want you to, like this, just run around that thing just like this and shout in glory to God. And I did that. It was a little more dramatic than that. Okay? But, and I felt kind of strange, to be honest with you. I never had done that before. But I felt the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and said, I want you to do that. And after I was done, I had this thought coming, you stupid idiot, look at you. That I believe I heard from the Lord. Well, you know, just a short time after that thing, some things broke loose for us financially.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, let's just face the fact that if we're going to be all dignified all the time, we could miss out on God's best. Okay? See, we got to get the fear of man out of us. What are they going to think? What are they, you know, listen, I'd rather walk in the miraculous than to try to be a man pleaser.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I believe that you can be relevant without compromising.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We don't have to look like we're, you know, from church from 35 years ago or anything like that. You know, we're always trying to update things, and that's cool and that's good. But we don't compromise the Word of God.
Amen.
Never compromise the Word of God. You see, if we compromise the Word of God, we're going to compromise miracles and supernatural things happening in our lives. Praise God. And so the Lord instructed me to run and dance around my wallet and my checkbook on the floor. That sounds kind of crazy. I bet you'd all love to see that on video, wouldn't you? Maybe we can do a reenactment, Josh, or something. You know. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen? But let me tell you something. When the money showed up, I was like, Yeah. Now, it would have been so easy to just say, oh, God, we have a need. What are we going to do? See, the Bible says that wisdom crieth in the streets. Did you know wisdom is all around you? Amen. The answer that you need is so close. Sometimes you're looking for something. I know it's out there somewhere, and it's right in front of you. Amen. Amen. Amen? The Bible says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. The word that is the answer.
Glory, God.
25 years ago, I was studying up in my little bedroom for a sermon at my first church, humble beginnings, and I wasn't even thinking about it, but I had one of my pens that I was writing with. I put it in my mouth. You know how you do that? You put it in your mouth or put it in your ear, whatever. And so all of a sudden I had some other thoughts come to me, and I'm like, oh, I got to write this down. And I'm looking around, looking under my desk, looking under my books, and I thought, where in the world did my pen go? Then the light came on. The very thing that I was looking for was in my mouth, and I didn't even know it. And see, the Lord gave me an illustration. He said, Keith, that's exactly right. He says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart.
Hallelujah.
See, a lot of times we're looking for outside answers, and the answer's right here, about an inch underneath our nose, the mouth. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue in Proverbs chapter 18. Amen? Death and life are in your tongue. So what kind of words are you releasing for God to work with? What kind of building material, like a carpenter needs certain saws and different things and hammers and nails to work with? They need building material. Well, in the spirit, what kind of building material are we giving God? We got to give Him our words. Daniel had a vision. He was praying for the interpretation. You know what the Bible says? God, 21 days later, an angel came to him. And the angel said this. First thing he said to Daniel, he says, Daniel, I've come for thy words. He says, I was sent from the very first day that you began to pray, but there withstood me a prince of the power of Persia. You know, now that's Old Testament. Okay? And he says, but the first day that you prayed, he says, I came, but I was hindered by the prince of the power of the air. Now, that's Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have the name of Jesus, and there's nothing can block that. But here's what the angel said to him. I've come for thy words. Angels have been sent to hearken to the voice of the Lord God, and angels respond to scriptural words. When you speak God's word, angels are activated to go behind the scenes where you can't see them here, and they'll begin to do some things. And they'll work behind the scenes. I've watched this happen over and over and over and over again. I've seen it happen with people that weren't saved. Oh, God, I just send someone across their path, you know. And I'm telling you, the angels are real, okay? They're not fat little babies playing harps that you see on your Sunday school walls, amen? Hey, there's no such thing as a baby angel. You do not become an angel when you go to heaven. That will be a demotion. See, angels have been sent to minister to the heirs of salvation, which is you and me. We're made. See, angels are not made in God's likeness and image. The only class of being that's made in God's likeness and image is you, mankind. But angels have been sent to minister, and they hearken to the voice of the Word of God. And so that's why a lot of angels are unemployed. They got big signs looking for work. We'll work for food. Did you ever see that? Yeah, I'll bet you will. I know what you're going to do with that $10. You're going to go buy a big thing of booze or something like that. Come on now. Not always, but sometimes. I've seen that happen. Instead of buying a Big Mac, they buy a big thing of Jack Daniels. You know what I'm saying? We're going all over the place here, aren't we?
Yeah.
But see, angels have been sent, in Hebrews chapter 2 and 3, they've been sent to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. And they're sent, they hearken diligently to the voice of the Word of God. See, we're not digressing from our subject here. We're talking about laying the foundation here. The first foundation pillar is the Word of God.
Amen.
You ask yourself the question, all right, I see what I'm going through. Where's the verse? What does the Bible say about this? Man, you talk about counseling yourself. Mm-hmm. My goodness. So many times we're trying. I'm not opposed to counseling. It's good, good, godly counseling. But be honest with you. I mean, apart from the Word of God, apart from the Scripture, apart from the Word of God, we really can't help anybody. Okay? And that's why I'm really careful that when I do give counsel to people, that it's not my opinion because, you know, there's no real leg to stand on there if it's man's opinion. But if it's God's Word, then there's this foundation. There's something we can stand upon. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you learn a few things in 30-some years of walking with Christ and working with people. And one of the things I've noticed is this, is that just like Jesus gave that illustration about the storm that came against individuals. And I've seen families, I've seen individuals through the years, I've seen where they've collapsed under the pressure of situations, and it came down to this, is they were a hearer. They became a hearer of the Word of God, but they didn't do it. They didn't practice what God's Word said. And so they were left kind of devastated. You know what I'm saying? But yet I've seen people in dire situations. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. As bad as your situation might be right now, as dire as it may seem right now, there's been somebody that's been in a worse situation, similar situation, but worse. They trusted God, and God came through.
Amen.
If that, knowing that fact, because this, the enemy wants you to be isolated, and you're thinking that I'm the only one that's going through this. Listen, if you're going through something, there's someone else that's been through something even worse. But if when they trusted God, God brought them through supernaturally. And I've seen people, and I remember on a couple occasions, I've some counseling situations, and I was counseling somebody. I felt like I needed counsel after I counseled them. It's like, God, help me here. Ooh, man. This looks rough and tough. I remember one time I was counseling someone. They were in the midst of a divorce. I mean, it was bad. It was ugly, man. It was just, I won't go into the graphic details, but it almost turned into a fist fight in my office. I mean, it was that ugly. It was just ugly, man. It was like I had to pull the gavel and slam the desk almost. You know what I mean? It was like, whoa, 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 wait a minute here, you know? And I'm thinking, you know, they're here for counseling. Years ago. They're here for counseling. And I thought, in myself, I'm thinking, how in God's green earth am I going to help this couple right now? I mean, within myself, I'm like, Lord, I'm having a conversation inside me. I'm like, well, what am I going to do here? What would you say to them, Lord? Now, to be honest with you, I honestly did not know the next step. I didn't know what I was going to do. Here's a marriage. People have been married for several years, and their marriage is about to collapse. And not in a pretty situation either. And yet they're believers. But their life's a mess. I mean, a mess, you know. But yet God loves them. God cares for them. Always have to remember that. Even in the midst of people's mess, He loves them. He cares for them. That's the biggest, most powerful revelation you can have is how much God loves you. Because no matter how screwed up you might be or messed up you might be, God has an answer for that. He's not condemning you. He's there to help you. He's there to help you. So I said, time out. Stop. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, and they calmed down. Put them in two different chairs. Bring the towel out. Bring them the water bottles. You know what I'm saying. And And I said, let's take a break right now. Now, they were Spirit-filled believers. And I said, let's take a break and pray in the Spirit. And I could tell they were a little irritated that I wanted to pray in the Spirit. You ever pray mad in tongues? You know. It wasn't that bad, but it was some teasing. But they were kind of irritated. That, you know, but Jesus, when he wrote in the sand, when they were trying to condemn him, he was just listening on the inside. He's listening to the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And when you listen, wisdom will come. Amen. See, that's one of the great benefits about praying in other tongues is you tap into the wisdom of God. Do you ever see these people in like parks or the beach or something like that, and they're walking along with what do they call these things? These metal detectors, and they're walking around just... Looks like a big hockey stick. They're just walking around, you know, and beep, 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 beep. There's a hidden treasure there. Listen, that's exactly, when we pray in the Spirit, that's like that thing. We're walking around and we tap into the wisdom of God like that. And so we prayed for about 2 minutes in tongues. It seemed like 2 hours. And so I asked them this question. Now, the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Amen.
Okay. So I go, Bob, when you met Mary, I said, what was it that attracted you to her? Well, I can tell he didn't want to say it, but he did. He says, well, da-da-da-da-da, and he began to say some things. And I said, well, Mary, when you met this jerk, no, I mean, I'm just playing with you now. I said, now, Mary, when you met Bob, you know, I said, what was it about him? You know, it wasn't his 16-inch biceps. It was his kindness. Okay? It was his kindness. He was kind to me. And so we began to talk. So we went back and forth like that, you know, and I said, here's what I want you to take home with you. Sometimes you can overwhelm people with information, but if you just take one little bite size and take it home with you, take one scripture, can change your life. Just one scripture. You don't have to know the whole New Testament in 5 days. I mean, you can know one scripture and it'll set you free. And I said, here's what I want you to do. Now, they're still in the same house, but like I said, it was really rough. And I said, I want you to go home, and I want you to, I said, for the next week, because we'll schedule something for 7 days later, you know. And I said, I want you to only talk about the things in that person, that spouse, and that husband and that wife. I want you to only talk about the things that bless you about them. Now, if there's only one out of 20, I said, major on the one. Forget about the 20 things, the 19 things that tick you off, that make you mad, that irritate you. And I said, just ignore those things, and I want you to start building on what is common to you. What is it about that husband? What is it about that wife that you really like? Okay? And they were kind of rough about this. They said, oh, okay, you know, all right. You know, to be honest with you, I really didn't think they were going to do it. I thought I just wasted an hour and a half with this, an hour or whatever it was for this couple. I just felt like it just seemed like I wasted my time with them. But they heard the word and they did the word. Much to my surprise. Because if I was to go by what I felt, what I could see, what I could hear, and what I sensed at that time, it didn't look like it. Didn't appear like it. That's why sometimes people will hear that. They'll hear godly counsel and say, I think the next church has the answer for me. And they're passing up the wisdom of God right there. Well, you know what? We came back next week. We met, you know, and things were a little bit better. Now I had them review. I said, well, okay, what happened? How'd things go? You know, and they had a few slip ups and stuff, you know, but that's okay. You get back up. Just because you fall down, don't stay down. Just get right back up. Micah says, when I fall, I shall arise. When you fall, just get right back up. If you mess up, you screw up, just get right back up. Because God's there to hold you up. A righteous man will fall 7 times, but the Lord will lift him up. Just get right back up. Well, you know what's interesting about this is that I watched this for a week, then 2 weeks, then 3 weeks. And before you know it, I'm walking down the halls of this church that I was working in at the time. And I saw them holding hands, and they didn't even know I was looking. And finally, they came up to me, and they smiled, both of them. I almost felt like weeping. And they said, I said, we just want you to know that our marriage is better than ever. It's almost like we got married all over again. Hallelujah. Now, all I did was tell them to focus on, accentuate the positive, which eliminates the negative.
Amen.
You ever remember that song?
Yes.
Y'all remember that song?
Yeah.
Do you know how that, do you know the root behind that song? I heard this from Buddy Harrison. He said this. He said, Mr. Carmichael, his father was, that wrote that song, you know, his father was very, very sick and ill and ran up thousands and thousands of dollars of medical bills, in which they didn't have the money to pay the medical bills. That song that was written years ago. So he wrote a song. He was given the music. God gave him that gift, you know. He wrote a song called Accentuate the Positive, Eliminate the Negative. And, you know, after that song became a smash hit, he said the royalties on that song paid off the debt.
Hallelujah.
From his father's illness.
Wow.
Accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Folks, if we get busy accentuating the positive things about each other, our church, you can look around and you're going to find things that are wrong. That's any church. There's things that aren't perfect. People aren't perfect. People say, you know, I want to find the perfect church. Now, here's the problem with that. When they show up to that church, it becomes imperfect. Because you and I in the flesh, there's no, we are not perfect in the flesh.
Amen.
We all have our little idiosyncrasies and little things and little ways of doing things that may irritate each other, you know. And that's just the way it is. I mean, even in your family, you know what I'm talking about. Husbands get on people's nerves. Wives get on the husband's nerves. Kids, vice versa. Do you all know what I'm talking about here?
Amen.
Does your husband or your wife ever get on your nerves once in a while? Confess your faults one to another, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there things that irritate you about one another? Well, do you, you know, just because you have a little something that happens doesn't mean you write a bill of divorcement and say, forget you, buddy. Do you know what I'm saying? You work it out. You say, well, okay, praise God, I'll grip my teeth, go take a walk, whatever you have to do. And you find the good in that person. See, love, the Bible says, listen to me, love is ever ready to believe the best in every person. Well, the opposite is believing the worst. If we choose to believe the best in one another, we will bring out the best. And I honestly, I had no intention whatsoever to even go in this area today. You should see my notes. It was a totally different way. But isn't that just like the Lord?
Amen.
You know, he'll take us down a path that we didn't intend to go down.
Amen.
In order to help folks.
Amen.
I have a word for you. This can be the greatest year up to this point that you have had ever.
Amen.
Okay? You keep coming back every week. You come back. You hear these truths. Get them down. And we give the CDs away free, too, so you can go back and listen to it over and send it to someone else and help them. Amen? But these foundational things are so important that we build our lives on the Word of God. That I refuse to be moved. That whatever's happening around me, I believe God's Word works. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let's close our eyes and pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise God. We love you. We worship you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you worship. We give you honor. We give you thanks right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just wait for a minute, just worship the Lord for a minute here? Amen. Father, we praise you. Altar. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you worship. We give you thanks, Lord. As you're there sitting in your chair this morning, the Lord is dealing with your heart. He's speaking to you. And just let Him so gently speak to you. The other day, and I was, you can just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. The other day, I was kind of upset about a particular thing. And you know how it is when you get upset, you worry about something. And I noticed that my peace started to leave me. And in my heart, I felt the Lord say to me, I have an answer for you. If you'll just listen to me, I have an answer for you. And so just as fast as you could snap your fingers, I shifted what I was thinking about this problem, and then I shifted it over to what God was saying to me, and all of a sudden, I noticed the peace came back. See, Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him. God says, I'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed upon me. We're not talking about just peace. We're talking about perfect peace. God says, if you'll keep your minds upon me, I will keep you in perfect peace. I think in the Hebrew it says perfect, perfect peace. It doesn't get any better than that. Now I want to pray for those here this morning. And of course, in a general sense, this would apply to everybody. But even more specifically, that if there's been some troubling thoughts, and we're going to take authority. If there's been some thoughts that are really negative thoughts coming at you, I mean like a hammer hitting you. I'm not just talking about a passive, light thought here. I'm talking about something that's just been wham, just nailing you, making you feel horrible. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to just quickly raise your hand up. Just real quick, just if that's you, just lift your hand up real quick. Just be honest, be humble. Praise God. Father, in the name, I'm going to pray for you. Lynn and I are going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that anointing that's on the inside of each one of us and the anointing that's present here in this service right now, I pronounce a release of peace upon those that are here that have had troubled thoughts. Where the enemy's been harassing them, we come against the power of darkness. We command you, demons and evil spirits, take your foul hands off God's property and God's people right now. Satan, you loose them and let them go right now in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I thank you for great peaceful thoughts, Word of God thoughts, scriptures to rise up on the inside of each one here in Jesus' name. Receive that. Amen. Amen.